And I'm so happy to have, I guess, you know, you've been my guest that has been consistently coming back, Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz. How are you?
So I am good. And look at us. We are both wearing red and chanting power, girl power.
So I see, are you back in your office? Because the last couple of times I talked to you, you were at home.
I know. And I've been in my office in and out, you know, every week since the pandemic started, but a lot of the stuff that I did was from home. But today I got a very busy day, and the governor and I are going to be signing a bunch of bills, some gun safety measures, Jennifer's Law, all kinds of good things are going to get formally signed into law. So I always
whoa,
love
that. Yeah. Whoa. All right. So what brings you to WNHH today?
Oh my goodness. Well, besides you, we just wanted to talk about some really good things that are happening in New Haven and around the state. And actually, I was on the green yesterday with
I saw you.
Yeah. 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 So the Gov wanted to get some coaches from across the state. So he had a coach, Coach Lytle from Hill House, to talk about why it's important for young people to get vaccinated, because really we're doing very well. We're the fourth best in the country, but it is concerning seeing the rise of the Delta variant. And our youngest age groups are the ones that need the most help. So, and the most incentive push to get vaccinated. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah.
So how'd it go yesterday? I mean, did it seem well received?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what was really cool is Griffin Hospital has a white tent set up on the green. They're there every day. And so anybody who's like, geez, I've been meaning to get and I just haven't had the time, that's a perfect place to go. Mm-hmm. Also, if you have questions, if you have issues, you want more information, because some people are hesitant because they've seen something on TikTok. They've seen somebody have a bad reaction on the internet. You know, they've heard that it's causes fertility problems in men and women. Debunked, it does not. But if you have something that's kind of bothering you and you want to get the facts, the health department is right there. There are health professionals on site at the vaccine clinics. So
does it feel like, I mean, do you feel like it's a race against misinformation at this point? I mean, it feels like that to me, because you know, so much social media access that people have, and people rely and depend on that access, that I don't know if truth gets in there enough where people can hear it and respond to it. So, I mean, do you feel like a race?
Yes, I think there is. I do. I think part of it is. And I'll give you an example. So I was in Fairhaven, door knocking with Kika Matos and her nonprofit. And we came across a young Latinx man who said he didn't want to get vaccinated because he saw a video of someone having a bad reaction, an allergic reaction, on the internet. And I said to him, you know, you're right. In a tiny portion of cases, tiny number of cases, somebody will have a bad reaction, but that's why they have you sit and you have nurses watching you for 15 minutes after you get the vaccination, so that if you are one of those rare people that has a reaction, something can be done immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know if I convinced him, but it's those kinds of things. I think there's some convenience and logistics issues to it, honestly, because some people are thinking, oh, you know, a friend of mine or a family member got the vaccine and then they got sick and had to stay home from work, and I can't be in that situation.
Yeah.
So I think there's probably some of that. And I think we just have to keep meeting people where they are and making sure that family members, what we're finding is family members and healthcare professionals are the biggest advocates and the biggest sort of force to have people change their mind and get it.
So Lieutenant Governor, do you feel like, do you have concerns or fears that we will be back in this place of quarantining and masking at the same time? Do you have that in the back of your mind as we move forward, as we see the numbers across the country jump off the charts?
Yeah, it's concerning for sure. And Dr. Fauci has said we're moving in the wrong direction. We can see that in Connecticut because we now have 100 people in the hospital. And just a couple of weeks ago, we had 30 people in the hospital. You know, we were at one of the lowest points, and now the trajectory is going up because this is such a highly transmissible and communicable virus. Having said that, I keep saying it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated, right? Because the people who are getting sick and going to the hospital right now are the ones who haven't been vaccinated. Further, the people who have died or went to the hospital since December of last year when the vaccine came out, 99% of those people are people who weren't vaccinated. So, and we're seeing, which I think is a good thing around the country, with the uptick in places like St. Louis, where hospitals are overwhelmed.
Yes.
People are finally realizing I should get a vaccine. And so nationwide, more people are getting vaccinated because they are seeing the virulent and dangerous nature of this disease. And the other thing I want to say is places like New Canaan, 99% of the people are vaccinated. You get to Putnam, you have 40% of the people vaccinated. I want to say that New Haven still has work to do, but New Haven has a better vaccination rate than Bridgeport, Hartford, you know.
So what is New Canaan doing right? I mean, and what is it about New Canaan? Is it the makeup of New Canaan?
So New Canaan, Greenwich is another example of a highly vaccinated community. Well, I would characterize as a pretty homogeneous community. And when you have bigger immigrant populations, bigger communities of color.
So you're saying that it's all white people up there.
in the nicest way. In the nicest way.
I mean it in the nicest way, too.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that our socially vulnerable populations are the places. But let me just say, because I don't want people to get the impression that very wealthy communities are highly vaccinated. We have little towns in northeastern Connecticut that are very under vaccinated. You know, they haven't gotten to that even the 50% vaccination threshold. And I do think this is becoming a political discussion. And I never thought, you know, vaccines and whether you should get a vaccine would be a political discussion.
So when you say political discussion, what do you mean? Because everybody is saying that. I mean, I've seen Republicans and congressional leadership Republicans are adamant about they're not getting vaccinated. And their folks listen to them and say, I stand with my senators and my representatives who are not getting vaccinated, so therefore I'm not getting vaccinated.
Well, let's just start with the top. I mean, we had the president of the United States and Donald Trump who got COVID, who denied it existed, got very sick with it, almost died, had people go to his rallies not wearing masks and had thousands of people get sick, right? So there was already, even prior to COVID, the COVID pandemic, there was already a segment of people in Connecticut that were going to their legislators saying that there should be no vaccination requirements for kids for those usual childhood diseases, right? Measles, mumps, all of those things. And so we started with a certain part of the population that was opposed to vaccinations. And in fact, in every community across the state, there is a concern about decreasing childhood vaccination rates.
Wow.
Yeah, no, because in Hartford, we actually had some measles cases, you know, not long ago. And that's why the Speaker of the House, Matt Ritter, said we need to get rid of some of the exemptions that had come into state law. And some of those exemptions were allowing people giving people the opportunity not to get their kids vaccinated, where, you know, 50 years ago, of course you would, you know, you knew people who had polio, and you wanted to get your child vaccinated so they wouldn't be suffering with, a lifetime of bad after effects from polio. And measles and mumps, rubella, all of those things that would routinely kill little kids are now non-existent, except that they have popped up in Fairfield County in a couple of places because of declining vaccination rates. And so, you know, it's concerning as we think about starting school, right? Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to have another year where 100,000 kids go to school and don't participate online. And we always knew that in-person instruction is the best thing. So that's why we have the coaches, because we know that they are very respected figures opinion leaders among students. And, you know, they were putting the message out there that it's really important for our student athletes to get vaccinated. And you have only to look at NFL football that is now saying teams have to keep each other safe. And if there are team members that put each other at risk, they put the whole team at risk. And, you know, teams aren't going to be able to play.
But not only not play, you'll get fined. I mean, you won't get paid. So it wasn't enough to just say, you know, oh, you know, it's the right thing to do. They were like, listen, if you don't get vaccinated, you're not going to get paid. And you will forfeit your game. And so will the other team. So that's pressure. Do you think, yep. I mean, does that work? Like, can we take a page from the NFL? I mean,
you know, I like the NFL example. Because
they don't get it right on too many things. Lieutenant Governor Bicewicz, they don't get it right on a lot of things.
They got a lot to learn about, you know, prevention of domestic violence and other things for sure. But no, I like the steps that they are taking. Thus far, you know, look, we've gotten to be the fourth best vaccinated state in the country. Without mandates. And, you know, we are starting to see, though, that hospital systems are coming forward and saying we need to vaccinate all of our employees that are facing patients and the public. And, you know, think about, I was talking to the head of a nursing home yesterday, and he was saying that, you know, that he was trying to get all of his employees vaccinated because he has personally seen how devastating it is. You would think that the healthcare industries would be the first. And
that's what I was thinking. I was very baffled by the fact that they didn't take leadership on this from the jump.
You know, I have to say, Babs on Friday of last week, Johanna Hayes and I talked to nursing and psychology students at Western Connecticut University. And as part of the nursing training for students, they had to help with vaccination efforts. And there was a graduate student of nursing who was very, very powerful because she said during COVID, she was in a COVID ward at Danbury Hospital and she had 8 patients and they were all extremely sick. And every moment she had to make a decision about which one she would help. And she said after she had that experience of 8 people on ventilators,
ooh,
yeah, that she, that was, an, even though she had some concerns about the vaccines, after seeing what people went through, she was going to go ahead and get it. And she was, you know, among the first healthcare workers at Danbury Hospital to get it.
Yeah, that's got to be a sobering. I mean, that's right in your face. That's in your face kind of stuff. So, what do you hear from the business community? Because they have to be very nervous, right? They have to be very nervous because things are just opening up. People are going out to eat. People are going to bars and restaurants, all these kinds of things. And they're just starting to feel like maybe we can survive this. But with these numbers climbing again, are they nervous? Are you and the governor talking to them? What are they saying to you?
Oh yeah. We're in regular conversation with the head of the restaurant association, their board members, because, you know, it was this balance from the beginning of how do you reopen the economy and how do you keep people safe at the same time? And, you know, I'll tell you that we just appointed a new woman to take over for Deidre Gifford as Commissioner of Public Health yesterday. She, Manisha, Dr. Manisha from Yale, who mm-hmm. is a specialist on infectious diseases. And here what was interesting, she actually wrote a letter to the governor signed by a lot of doctors when we reopened restaurants saying she thought it was a bad idea. And I give the governor credit for choosing somebody who hasn't necessarily agreed with every decision that he's made. And right now we have business owners making their own decisions about, you know, do they want to require mask wearing? Do they want to, you know, ask their employees to get vaccinated? And business owners have, it's just so interesting what they've been doing to mm-hmm. keep people safe. A lot of restaurants, you know, my favorite restaurant, one of my favorite restaurants in New Haven, Rice Pot, you know, they kind of reconfigured all the chairs. Places have put up the Lucite between bar stools so that people who don't know each other, you know, will be safer. You know, people are being very creative and innovative. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody is very concerned because we want our kids, we wanted this to be a really safe summer. And I should say, to your question about restaurants, our tourist spots are having huge numbers of visitors that they've never had before, like the Maritime Aquarium in Norwalk, mm-hmm. the Mystic Aquarium, Mystic Seaport. They're reporting people are coming from all over the country because they feel like Connecticut is safe. Good for us. So I think we have to keep doing what we're doing and keep assessing and keep urging people to get vaccinated because we're not there yet. And we know we're not going to get a vaccine for the infant to 11-year-olds before school starts, mm-hmm. which I was kind of hoping we would get. And we're not going to get that. So it's going to take extra effort. And don't know about you, but I still wear a mask when I go to the grocery store, when I go to the pharmacy, when I'm in groups of a lot of people, especially inside, you know?
And I haven't, I sort of let my mask go when we were able to be free, but I'm starting to think now, and I'm start, and I will tell you, Susan, I see a lot of people still masking. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people in, like when I go to Target, I still see a lot of people masking. Yeah. So that's a good, I think that's a good sign.
Yep. No, my husband is really a fan of masks because, as he said to me, I went through the whole year of the pandemic without getting a cold or the flu. Right, because we were all home,
right?
We were all washing our hands, we were all wearing masks. And I think that's, I think that's a good thing. And I think it's why you see people in other cultures. You know, in Japan, they have very crowded cities, places in China, and people wear them. People wear masks all the time as a matter of personal hygiene. So I hope we're not in a situation. I hope we can get over this pandemic and ditch the masks, because I like interacting with people. I like seeing people's faces. And I also know it's hard for little kids if, you know, they can't see the teacher's face and mm-hmm. see people. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to keep pushing. And I appreciate your talking about this on your show.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, this is, I think this is probably, this will go down in history as one of the most challenging times in our history. And I just want to be a person that helps spread truth and right information to people, because this is serious stuff. And, you know, as a woman of color, as a Black woman specifically, you know, our communities are hardest hit. And I like seeing the effort being made to talk to people of color and Black people specifically. I run the inner city newspaper, and we ran a piece that had the descendants of the Tuskegee experiment. The descendants of those folks have been vaccinated and have been talking about the need for vaccination, because everybody always referenced that as a part of not trusting governments, you know, call to get vaccinated, right? Because of that experiment. And they came out and said, listen, we have to save some lives here. You know, we have to save our lives. And I thought that's pretty powerful, right? So there's a lot of good effort being made.
No, and I think you are so right. And Johanna Hayes made this same point that we need to understand that racism is a public health problem. And I think finally this the disparity has come to light in access to healthcare, in mistrust of government. And so there's a lot to do. So one good thing in our budget as a result of American Rescue funding is that 40,000 more families are on Access Health Connecticut. So that's our state's version of.
Yes, I had the director on. I've had him on several times throughout the pandemic to talk about what they were doing to make sure that people had insurance so that they wouldn't feel like they are left out.
If people are listening right now, they are watching, they need to know August 15th is a deadline for people to sign up. So if you don't have healthcare, health insurance, it may be free to you, or it may be available at a reduced rate. If you have a small business, you can also sign up. Access Health Connecticut is a tremendous resource. And there are a lot of people out there who may not know that because of American Rescue funding coming from the federal government, that we can increase the number of people on our insurance rolls. Right now, Access Health has 110,000. We should be up to 150,000, which would be probably half of the people who lack insurance or who are underinsured in our state. So mm-hmm. it's an opportunity. If you don't have health insurance, please, please call Access Health because they're great.
Yes, because a lot of people are not still going back to work yet, right? There's still a lot of people who are not, haven't gone back to work, and maybe their insurance has lapsed or their job has shut down and they don't have access to insurance.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Access Health, great. And they are starting to expand also coverage for small business owners, and small business owners tend to be the people who struggle to pay for insurance for their themselves and for their employees. So if you're a small business owner, check it out. They have people who are specializing in getting coverage for small businesses too.
So before you go, you had mentioned at the top of the hour that you and the governor have a bunch of bills to sign into law.
Yes.
Can you just give me a little bit of highlight of some of those?
Well, so we've got a bunch that we're signing today. But I have to say, I thought legislative victory wise, we were able to tackle some big pieces of legislation that had been on our plate for years. One, legalizing marijuana with a focus on equity. Finally, thank you, Gary Winfield. Thank you, Robin Porter, for shining the light on the fact that the war on drugs really negatively affected Black and Brown communities in a way that didn't affect white communities. You know, there were Black and Brown men and women who were arrested for possessing marijuana and convicted and had to go to jail, where you had white college students who had access to lawyers who, you know, never were in the correction system. You know, that's just so unfair. And so there was clean slate legislation passed to try to address that part of our history, but also to give Black and Brown communities and entrepreneurs first access to the ability to own some of these businesses to sell marijuana to adults. And in states like New York, the buy-in, if you will, was very high. You had to spend $250,000 mm-hmm. to get a license and have a lot of capital. And that's not equitable and it's not fair given our racist past on this issue. So that was a big win. Also, a big win was making sure that online gaming is accessible in Connecticut, because it is in New Jersey and other states around us are moving toward that. And so now our tribal nations will be part of that, along with our lottery board. So I think that's a good thing. Governor Malloy was trying to move us forward on that front. Mm-hmm. And it took years of negotiating. We finally figured out that one. We've modernized the bottle bill, so there's going to be a 10 cent return fee instead of the 5 cent to try to give people more of an incentive to return their cans and bottles, and also to include more drinks, because now there are so many drinks that you can buy, teas, kombucha, all of it, energy drinks, and we want to make sure that those are included. And here's my favorite, and one of my favorite things that passed was a result of our Council on Women and Girls work, and it's that parents who run for public office, they run for state senate, they run for secretary of the state, run for state senate, if they have a small child, they can use part of the public funding to pay for childcare while they're campaigning.
That's good, because I remember when I was elected to the Board of Alders, when I was a young mother, It's daunting. Yeah, how
did you do that? Isn't it hard?
It's I have four children, and it was, I mean, you have to coordinate their care before you can even go knock on doors. You know what I mean? Like, before you can get to a meeting. And sometimes I've just packed them up and bring them to meetings, right? Because that's all you could do, right? You can't leave them alone. So that's a good start to support women and their ability to run for office.
Right. And men, by the way, because
men.
There are people like Gary Winfield, who has little ones, and he said he would use it. Roland Lamar has little ones. He said he would use it, you know. So I think it is a really good step forward. And also the other thing was we passed legislation to require that the governor and the legislators who appoint people to boards and commissions have to consider the diversity of our state, because those boards and commissions that do a lot of our government work, UConn Board of Trustees, the Board of Accountancy, the Nursing Standards Board, you know, the State Contracting Board, there are 400 of them. They still have only a tiny percentage of people of color and women serving on those boards. So we are hoping that provisions to increase diversity are also going to be a good thing as well.
So before you go, there's a great deal of disappointment that the governor didn't sign the solitary confinement bill legislation. I mean, there's a great deal of disappointment because everybody was riding the high of the other things that got passed. So, I mean, do you have any thoughts on that? Any feelings about that?
Yeah. So here's what I'll say. So good things that happened, phone calls for prisoners to their families are now free. That is a huge step forward. The clean slate legislation that Gary Winfield fought for also passed, very important, so that once you've paid your debt to society and you've been out being productive, that you can literally leave that past behind, you know, and that'll help you be more productive in the future. And then the other really good thing that happened is that for purposes of voting and funding, it's really important that we count those who are in the corrections system, not in Suffield or Summers or Cheshire, right? But where they came from. And finally, we passed legislation to address that, because it makes places like Summers, Suffield, Cheshire, it gives them population that isn't the people that aren't planning to be there for the long haul. When those folks complete their debt to society, they're going back to New Haven, they're coming back to Middletown, Meriden, wherever. And so that made really good sense. So those are the good things. And the governor vetoed the solitary confinement bill in large part because he felt that legislators did not work closely enough with our corrections commissioner. And he was concerned about corrections employee safety. And so what he did instead was issue an executive order on solitary confinement with the goal of doing what the legislation wanted to do, to dramatically reduce the numbers of hours that people had to be in solitary confinement, and put us on a path to getting rid of that terrible practice. And so we have an executive order in place to do that. And, you know, I know Gary Winfield and I know his leadership. And I know that he will be back.
No question. Him and Robin Porter
and Robin Bear,
and all the other activists.
Yes, and I, you know, the to me, the other activists and advocates that I've heard of, aside from the legislators, our preachers and, you know, religious leaders who are coming. So we got a lot of good stuff happening on that front. And I know those advocates, and I know they're not going to give up. And I know the governor is going to continue to ask our corrections commissioner to get that work done without legislation.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time, Lieutenant Governor.
It is always a pleasure, and I just love that we're channeling the same power, Red.
Listen, girl power. And thank your new person on your team, Sean Butler. He's a great coordinator for this effort.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. You're welcome anytime. Come back anytime.
Thank you.
All right. Enjoy your day. Woo. Okay, Harry. Let's go. That was a good conversation. I enjoyed that very much. I got to talk about all the things that matter, particularly around what is COVID happening in our state. I didn't realize we were fourth in the nation for vaccination. So that's good. But there's so much more to do. So if you are listening this morning, there are vaccination places all over this city. You can just walk up. And I was in Walmart in Hamden. You can just go in there and they'll get you the vaccine too. So there's lots of places where people can get vaccinated. So listen, get it done now, because these variants are not fooling around. That was a good conversation, Harry. I mean, she shed some light on some stuff. She shed some good light.
Oof. You know, it's a lot more work to get back on mic over here.
You got to run across the office, Harry.
It's crazy.
Oh, that was a good conversation with the Lieutenant Governor. I appreciated that very much.
Yeah, she's always good.
Yeah, she's good. She's good. And I appreciate she wants to come on all the time and talk. So, all right, well, we got to go. So tomorrow is what, Wednesday? The week is flying by, Harry.
Yeah, it feels long. I'm telling you, it should be Friday today.
Harry, you just still in vacation mode. That's what it is. You know, when you come back from vacation, you really need a vacation.
Yeah, I do.
Ease in. And when you come back on a Sunday and then start work Monday, that's always a tough thing.
I need a vacation from the airports.
Well, yeah. And listen, the airports ain't going to get any better for a minute. Because I hear now they're going to institute some other stuff to make flying difficult.
Good luck with that. I'm not going. I was thinking of doing something for Christmas. I was thinking about
Puerto Rico, Harry, but
me too, for Christmas. But you know what? I'm not going to be stuck in an airport.
Yeah, because I feel like that's a prescription for being stuck in the airport for the holidays. I don't want that.
Yep.
Unless something happens, you know. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But I'm seriously thinking about it.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. All right. All right.
See you tomorrow.
Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate y'all.
Hi, this is Bab Strolls Ivy from New Haven, Connecticut. And you're listening to
W-N-H-A-V-E-N.